by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass smack dab in the middle of it. Grass smack dab in the middle. We are grass smack dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Well, we've got just one of the finest guests we've ever had on. I'd say he's about the best. Bestest is when I put my imprimatur on people. Anyway, his name is Greg Pallas, and welcome to our program, Greg.
Glad to be with you again, George. Thanks.
You were saying earlier that it's snowing up there. It looks like a Christmas wonderland or what? What's happening in New York?
Yeah,
right now?
It's like those, those little glass things that you as a kid that you looked at, you turn upside down, the snow would come down. And
yeah.
It's just beautiful. You know, I mean, everyone here in New York's complaining, but, you don't get many advantages living in a big, ugly city like this, except once in a while you get some really nice snow so it doesn't look so ugly and all the filth on the streets finally gets just covered up.
Golly. So a lot is going on up there, isn't it?
And the finance center, they're counting our money here. You can hear it even in the snow.
Tell our listening audience a little bit about your backgrounds before we begin our conversation.
For those who don't know Greg Pallas, if you haven't been listening in with George, I like to come on regularly. I generally write for the Guardian newspaper of Britain. While you can tell from my voice, I'm Americano, but most of my work is as an investigative reporter for BBC Television out of London, their big nightly news program, Newsnight. And I do that because I do, old-fashioned investigative reporting, which you just don't have in the United States. And so I'm really glad that George has me on, because I don't get a lot of chances to be on American radio. Rather, I'm on the rest of the world's radio. I've written a few best-selling books, like The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, recently Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And by the way, this week I've released a new film on DVD and download called Vultures and Vote Rustlers, about the billionaires, the ballot bandits, who have been dipping into our bank accounts and dipping into our ballot boxes and tell us who to vote and how much to pay. So Vultures, Vote Rustlers, and you can always see my stuff at gregpallast.com, GREGPALAST.com, and get my reports. And the latest is about going back to commemorate the death of a young man named Aaron Swartz.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about his background. He was quite an activist in the Internet, but he was on that freedom side, was he not?
Yeah, you don't have a lot of people on freedom side. Aaron Swartz is one of those people that make you the guy was 14 years old when he invented what's called the RSS feed. He's 14, and RSS is very interesting because it allows you to create your own TV and radio feeds and basically put together your own newspaper, not what they tell you to read. So he begins even as a young prodigy with the idea of information freedom. From RSS, he goes on to he founds a site called Reddit on the Internet, and then he starts several organizations, including one to stop the SOPA law, the idea to keep the laws that would have allowed a charge for Internet use, the idea is to maintain the Internet as a place where we can all kind of graze our minds, not just people with a few extra shekels or allow anyone to control that internet. So he's always kind of a freedom, information freedom crusader. Even at the age of 25, he was already a professor at Harvard teaching. So, absolutely a young genius. It makes you wonder what you've been doing with your life, right?
Right, exactly.
And then he decided to go on, he's like a Robin Hood of information, Aaron Swartz. He most court records in the United States, it's all public records, but only rich corporations and big fat law firms can afford to get the transcripts and court records. They like to keep this stuff secret. It can cost you $100,000 to get photocopies of court records. This stuff is our stuff. It's our courts. We have an open society. So he decided to liberate them all. He hacked into the federal computers, and now you can, without charge, you can download most court records. They are public records. You want to know what's really going on in these cases and see the evidence. So he liberated billions of pages of public records, which have been kind of stolen by an elite. And then he went after what's called JSTOR. JSTOR, you know, we pay, the American taxpayer, George, pays billions and billions of dollars a year to university professors to do all kinds of research, whether it's on, vaccines or military weapons or just, what is, the latest information on physics, gravity, sociology, you name it. And these billions of dollars of research that we pay for get locked up by what I call kind of the Goldman Sachs of research called JSTOR. So in the last few years, university research that the public pays for has been locked up on a for-pay operation called JSTOR, where you have to pay a fortune to get research papers, public research papers. So he released all these public research papers that, so it's not left up to an elite. You know, like I say in my article called Rest in Peace, Aaron Swartz, and then later in another one called Aaron Swartz Died for Piers Morgan's Sins. If we had our current copyright laws and information controlled by our government and big corporations, if Isaac Newton worked for Microsoft, we'd all be paying a royalty every day for using gravity. Everything
exactly.
Gets all of our brains, our DNA is getting owned, our brains are getting owned, our information is getting owned, and Aaron tried to liberate this. When he liberated the research information, he was charged by the Obama administration, by the Obama Justice Department, with violating the anti-terrorism laws. Anti-terrorism laws. So they charged him with a crime. Listen to this. This young genius who ended up releasing this public information. They charged him with crimes that would keep him in jail for 35 years. 35 years. We just see guys who steal billions of dollars on insider trading cases who either don't get charged or get 6 months at a tennis camp. This kid gets 35 years. That's what the Obama administration has been doing to keep our public information away from the public. So faced with 35 years in prison, Aaron Swartz couldn't face that. So he ended up committing suicide. Last year, this is the one-year anniversary of Aaron Swartz's death, charged with anti-terrorism crimes. And, I just want to know who's the terrorist. And to me, the crime is pushing this young genius, one of America's, great minds, to suicide and threatening him with 35 years in prison.
Right. Piers Morgan went after him viciously, did he not? And to tear him apart.
Piers Morgan's got
quite a background himself, doesn't he?
It's very interesting. If you go to my site, there's also an article I wrote for Vice called Aaron Swartz Died for Piers Morgan's Sins. The reason I bring that up is that Piers, those who suck up to the system, George, do very well. whereas those who try to protect the public end up in prison. You know, I mean,
right,
whatever
right.
you think of Bradley Manning, he was releasing our information, our public, you know, our State Department documents. That's our State Department there. It's not Obama's State Department or Hillary Clinton's or George Bush's or Condoleezza Rice. It's ours. And Piers Morgan, the reason that we have this British guy on U.S. primetime TV, and yet he never seems to take a vacation, never goes home to Britain. The reason is, if he did, if he stepped off a plane, he would be arrested. Now, the thing about Piers Morgan is that when I write for The Guardian, this Greg Palast, if you, you've seen on British television. And one of the things that Piers Morgan did in Britain, he was editor of a paper, you'll love this, George. He had a column in his newspaper, the Mirror, and when his business columnists would promote a stock, say, oh, here's a hot stock. Of course, he would know before the paper went to press, he would know what stock they are promoting. He bought those shares of those stocks. And then as soon as the paper hit in the morning, there was a recommendation to buy a stock, he'd already have the stock. That's insider trading. That's in the United States, not in Britain, but in the United States, it is a felony crime. It's you go to jail, and you should go to jail because you're cheating other people who don't have the inside information. It's a prison time crime. The other thing is, however, he did commit another crime in Britain for which he would go to jail, which is why he can't go back, is phone wiretapping. This guy busted into the phones of celebrities so he could get information from their answering machines. Like, for example, Paul McCartney. He broke into Paul McCartney through a trick. He used a trick to get into Paul McCartney's answering machine and get personal information about, you know, rock stars. It's, you know, I don't care about Paul McCartney's personal life, but he puts it all over the front pages. So here we have a guy who breaks into all this stuff, who breaks into people's phones. That's phone hacking, that's wiretapping. It's illegal in the United States, it's illegal in Britain. He does insider trading, and yet he was given a genius visa by Hillary Clinton's State Department. Now, this is given out, a genius visa is supposed to be given out to people with extraordinary genius who want to come to the United States, some great scientist, a great violinist or something. Instead, we give it to this blabbermouth, Piers Morgan. Why? Because he gets on the air, and unlike you, George, he says what the rulers of America want us to hear all the time, every time. Whatever they want, whatever they, the position of the ruling class is and the betters, he's the guy who will, you know, provide all the propaganda and misinformation for them. And that's what his real genius is knowing how to suck up to power. So he gets a genius. So here's this guy who is a criminal. And I don't just say that on the air just for the heck of it. I don't want to be sued for libel. He is a criminal. He confessed to these crimes, actually, in two cases. Here's a criminal, here's a guy who's a clear criminal, and he gets a genius visa from our government, whereas Aaron Swartz, who is a true genius, this young true genius that America should be giving prizes to, you know, treating as like a superstar, and instead he's charged with crimes that would, he's charged under anti-terrorism laws where he has to go to jail for 35 years and chooses to just commit suicide rather than be locked away.
Right. You say on your article, and this is quoting you directly from the article, you might find it ironic that the government gave Morgan, the fraudster, a genius visa while indicting Swartz, a true genius.
Yes.
See?
And
boy, I tell you what,
yeah.
that rings so true, Greg. You're right on top of this.
Well, you know, this is how the government works. And it's not just here. If you read, like, for example, in my new film, George, I'll send you a copy, and
okay.
People can see that there's a little trailer, by the way, with a little cartoon in it. It has Chris Christie in it, has the Koch brothers, but it also has Bradley Manning. I, you know, when you're down there on the Gulf Coast, near the Gulf Coast, not that
right.
far, and if you, often you have to drive a bit, but you get there. You know, the Deepwater Horizon destroyed about 1,000 miles of Gulf Coast shoreline, destroyed a lot, 11 people were burnt to death. British Petroleum, the big oil company, said, oh, this was a big, terrible tragedy, a terrible accident. Well, what they didn't tell you is that they had a blowout, British Petroleum, BP, just like the Deepwater Horizon blowout, almost identical, 17 months earlier, a year and a half earlier, in the Caspian Sea, which is in Asia, and they covered it up. Now, how do we know that this happened? They covered it up. Well, one, if you watch Vultures of Vote Rustlers, you'll see that I get a tip from a BP, someone who was at the other blowout, witnessed it in Asia, and sent me a message. They were scared to death because this is a dictatorship which is controlled by BP and a bunch I call it the Islamic Republic of BP. It's like this, Islamic fanatics control this little oil, despotic oil nation. They covered it up. Now, but what about our government? Did they know about this other blowout before they gave BP the right to drill in the Gulf of Mexico? The answer is yes, the government did know it. Condi Rice, who had been an executive of Chevron, found out that there was another blowout by BP. Chevron was a part owner of this rig that blew out. So was Exxon. So BP and the government of Azerbaijan told our State Department that there had been this blowout. Our State Department kept this secret, didn't even tell Congress, so that BP was given the right to use the same process, which is like this cheap, quick cement process, use the same system with the same type rig, with the same disastrous, murderous result of a blowout. Now, the reason why do I bring up this whole issue of oil? We were talking about information. And how do I know about the State Department? The answer is we had another whistleblower like Aaron Swartz, Private Bradley Manning. He released all these State Department cables. Sometimes we call them the WikiLeaks cables, but it's Private Bradley Manning. And said, here's what your government is doing behind your back. And our government knew about the BP blowout before the earlier BP blowout, did nothing about it, gave them a BP, the oil company, another license to drill in the Gulf, and British Petroleum had the same result, another blowout, 11 people died, thousands of coastline destroyed. Our own State Department knew about this. And what do we do? Do we arrest the BP guys that lied? No, we arrest the guy that released the truth, Sergeant Bradley Manning. So the Obama administration, and I don't want to just blame Obama administration. Obviously, George Bush started with these anti-terrorism laws, which aren't catching terrorists. They're catching Americans.
But Obama's good, loyal, patriot Americans, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know?
The patriots of America are who are protecting the public information and trying to get the truth to us. So the anti-terrorism laws are being used to imprison people who get the truth to us. People like Edward Snowden. I write for The Guardian. He gave the information about the NSA to my newspaper. And what he was saying is America, the National Security Agency isn't spying on bad guys. They're spying on us.
Exactly.
And what I want to know, I know some of the evil stuff that they are doing with this information. We, on September 11th, George, of 2001,
right.
America was the victim of a terrorist attack. By the next day, somehow, you and I and all Americans, we were victims of terrorism. By September 12th, we became the suspects. They're not catching bad guys with these anti-terrorism laws. They're using it to terrorize Americans who have been exercising the right to speak the truth, exercising the right to liberate public information. They're slowly erasing the Constitution. And, a lot of people thought, okay, that was George Bush and Dick Cheney, those bad boys. They don't respect the Constitution. So we'll elect a constitutional lawyer from Chicago and who's been even more effective at erasing, every line of the Bill of Rights. So, you know, so both parties are joined hand in hand to keep the information from us, to go after and harass to death, you know, information heroes, patriots like Aaron Swartz, patriots like Bradley Manning, and who want to tell us the truth. And they're, you know, they're protecting, you know, literally confessed criminals like Piers Morgan, who do hack in and steal information, who do violate our privacy rights. They, those are the guys who get praised and get, you know, Piers Morgan's made $20 million from Time Warner. So, you know, this is, it's very sad. But
yes,
but that's why I'm going to keep, and that's why I'm glad that you have me on the air. Because,
well, you know,
go ahead.
I call these self-protecting networks is what they created. They created a system that protects themselves, and then they go after anyone that tries to expose them or reveal the truth about their operations.
Yeah, you know, they tell us that they're protecting us.
That's right. Under the misrepresentation, they're protecting us. They're protecting their own interests and their own networks. That's the problem.
You know, I always, you got it, George, because I always go back to Benjamin Franklin's statement. You know, our founding father, who was insistent on the Bill of Rights, he said that anyone who would trade their liberties for a little safety deserves neither liberty nor safety. We don't become safer as a nation because we give up liberties and we give up our freedom. That doesn't. I'm not better off that they put Aaron Swartz in prison and hounded him literally to death. He was, you know, I go back. I just went into the information that he released, the JSTOR information. You have to understand, these are public documents. We paid for this. This is university research. It's the most basic thing. And just simple stuff, just population studies. Do you want to know how many immigrants are coming in legally or illegally into Texas? Do you want to, you know, that information, that's I'm sorry, that should be public information. That's not something that I have to pay for or have a special access to. We need to know this stuff for public policy. That's the whole point. That's why we have a freedom of the press. That you can't have a freedom of the press if the information is locked up, you know. And then, you know, Bradley Manning, again, people, you know, he was releasing information showing that we were, that we had wrongly, you know, by accident targeted innocent people for drone strikes in Iraq. And he wanted that information, but he released a lot more than that. And we find out that if we'd had Bradley Manning's information, if this information had been released a year earlier and been discovered, we could have prevented the Deepwater Horizon from blowing up because we would have known that our State Department was in cahoots with the oil companies to cover up the truth about the methods that they were using for drilling. They use this kind of thing called a kind of quick dry cement. And you know, our State Department knew it killed people in the Caspian Sea, but you know, they're all cuddled up. You know, not only, and by the way, it's not just the Republicans. In that case, it was Condoleezza Rice. But why is, you say, well, if Condoleezza Rice and Bush's State Department are hiding all this stuff, why won't Obama say, hey, look what they're hiding? No, because they're all part of one team, like you say, the network. Yeah, there's one flavor. So one has a darker tint to their skin, one has a lighter tint, one has a little more liberal, and one's a little more conservative, a left-wing, right-wing, and then they, you know, they've back and forth. But it's one network. Don't. You know, and I'm glad you're not fooled.
Well, I've interviewed Larry Lasig. Are you familiar with that name?
Oh, yeah. A brilliant guy.
But he was at the last Bilderberg meeting.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well,
so,
hopefully you'll come
so,
back.
So, I mean,
the
they're trying to recruit some of the people on the freedom side, the internet freedom side, into the club, I guess. I don't know why he was there. Do you have any idea about that?
Well, they do two things. They threaten you. And then they try to cuddle up to you and enrich you. Like, for example, I just got, I told you about the oil, the Islamic oil dictatorship that's cuddled up to BP.
Yes.
Since they couldn't keep me quiet, I was offered, they got very, they've been cuddling up to me, offering me no small amount of money to go to the Caspian Sea. these Islamic republics, these oil dictatorships, offer me a huge amount of money to go and report stories for them. In other words, report what they want to hear, and I would make a big pile of money, George.
Right.
So I must admit, at one time I took a few bucks to get in to get the information, and I got in close to the president's family, and I said, oh, by the way, I want to ask you about $80 million in bribes that you received from Mobil and Exxon and British Petroleum. Well, I was hustled out of the country pretty quickly. So,
right, I bet, right. So, with armed guards, right?
They took you and threw you
under the plane, right?
Well, what happened is that they kind of dragged me up to the back and said, see you later. They either threaten you, or they do both. They threaten you, or they buy you off, or they try everything, and sometimes, unfortunately, it works. Sometimes it doesn't, and I hope that next time we speak, I will be neither in prison nor in my, in my Ferrari that's been bought by oil companies.
Right.
You know.
What do you see on the Libyan thing? That was civil war, you know. I mean, but look at the Syrian thing today. What would be your comments on Syria and what's going on over there? It's getting so horrible with all these different jihadist groups over there. It's just evil stuff going on. The poor people are just suffering. Everyone.
Yes. Well, as you know, I mean, a serious problem is a lack of oil. You know, we rushed right into Libya, as soon as the rebels grabbed our oil field, Libya has obviously tremendous amounts of oil. And we cuddled up to that. First week we tried, like you say, it's either buying them out or beating them up. First we tried to beat up Gaddafi to get at the oil, to get rid of him so we could get the oil. Reagan dropped bombs on his tents. He's a really nasty guy. I mean, he's a vicious dictator. But we didn't like him. And so we tried to get rid of him, not because he was vicious, but he wasn't cutting the deal on the oil.
Right.
Then he cut a deal. Now, we say that we reestablished relations with Gaddafi in Libya, the dictator, because he gave up his nuclear weapons. His plan to create a nuclear weapon. That's not true at all. We literally signed on it on the very day that we reestablished with Britain relations with Libya. The very same day, British Petroleum was given a $2 billion deal to pump oil out of Libya. There's no shame. It was literally the very same day. It had nothing to do with the fact that now he's a nice dictator. So where did this guy go from a cutthroat, a vicious, dangerous cutthroat, to a very nice guy? The answer is the day that he signed British Petroleum's oil deal. So that's Libya. Now we move to Syria. Uh-oh. No oil. You guys can just all bleed to death. I mean, you have the Syrian regime, Assad, who's been, they use helicopters. They fill up oil barrels, those oil drums, with explosives, take helicopters over cities, and drop them on marketplaces. So there are pictures of, in Britain, we don't spare people what it looks like. In the British news, you see kids with their legs blown off, bleeding to death, people just blown into little pieces and just, it looks like a butcher shop that's exploded with all these body parts around. We're talking over 100,000 people dead. We're talking a regime which has been torturing people. And then they gas their own citizen. Obama draws a line in the sand, and this guy basically urinates over the line in the sand, gasses his own people, and Obama sits on his hands. I drew a line in the sand. We're not going to let people do bad things. But, he doesn't have an oil. Well, then do whatever you want. And so what happens is when there's a vacuum, who comes into a vacuum? And you have what's called a stateless state, the term that's used by in the military is failed state. So Syria becomes a failed state. It totally implodes. Obama sits there on his hands. And so who comes in there? The jihadis and the maniacs now say, okay.
Well, they are in there
the
big time. Yeah.
Yeah, the terrorist playground is now open. So here's the administration that told us We have lines in the sand. They're protecting us from terrorists. They let the terrorists run into Syria instead of backing the good guys and getting rid of a dictator. They let a dictator run amok. We don't care. We're now going to have a failed state, which will become basically, like I say, a playground and a kind of orchard for growing terrorists. We're standing there, you know, with Obama whistling and looking at his shoes. And at the same time, what are they doing? They're arresting guys like Aaron Swartz and throwing him in jail. If I'm concerned about the dictatorship in Syria and the jihadis going in there in Syria, are they a threat to me? Yeah. Is Aaron Swartz a threat to me, the kid who released the research papers? No. Who are they taking action against? Instead of the dictators who ultimately are creating states that threaten our existence, no, they're going after Aaron Swartz. But like you say, it's a network. Syria has no oil, but Libya did. That's the difference. So we go, that's the difference. And so we don't care if all these people die in Syria. The only problem is that long term, I'm not even saying we should take military action, but the fact that we just stand there and say, well, whatever, we draw a line in the sand doesn't mean anything. That's a big, big problem because we're creating a playground for maniacs. Real bad.
You're right. On this Fukushima situation, I know you've had a background in nuclear power plant, inspection or what?
Well, I actually was an investigator for the U.S. Justice Department.
Right.
On racketeering and racketeering and fraud in the nuclear industry. I was going after the nuclear mafia. And
right. By the way, you're invited to our conference, Greg. We're going to have conference, a Fukushima Solutions conference here in Austin, March 22nd and 23rd.
Maybe you'll see my face.
Well, we'd love to have you be a part of it. We've got a limited budget, so we're Skyping in most of our people, but so.
Okay.
But anyway, I'll send you some information on that.
I would love to do that because, the thing is that these guys, it's not a matter whether you like nuclear power or not. It's all about money power in the end. These guys will lie to make a buck, and that's the problem. It's not about whether nuclear power is good or bad. It's about lying to make money and people die. And, in right there where you're from in Texas, the Obama administration was ready to give Tokyo Electric Power an $8 billion loan to build a nuclear plant in Texas. Now, come on. The guys that blew up Fukushima, they were going to give the money out before Fukushima. They weren't even going to take the money away after Tokyo Electric blew up a city forever. It's completely poisoned for the next, century.
Yes.
They're going to let them operate in Texas. It was actually Tokyo Electric says, well, sorry, we don't have any more money. After we destroyed a hunk of Japan, we're out of money. But, we can't come to the U.S. But can you imagine the Obama administration was going to pay Tokyo Electric Power, pay them billions to come here to run and build a nuclear plant in Texas? That's nuts.
Well, I've been talking to some experts, nuclear engineers and stuff, and it looks like because of our bomb-making industry, needing plutonium and stuff, we got locked into uranium-plutonium type of plants, nuclear plants, see, to produce the material to make bombs. And it was more of a military type of motivation for the plants that we have because I think thorium is a much safer material to use in nuclear power generation, but they never went that route because they needed a bomb material, it looks like.
Yeah, let's face it, nuclear power is very, 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 if you live in Texas, the reason your prices are very high there are the disasters at, like, for example, the South Texas nuclear plant, Comanche Peak. These plants ended up costing 10 times what they projected, and the only reason we have these things is, again, we ended up with a militarized electric system. And now, by the way, George, if you know the latest story, we had an attack, a terrorist attack. We really did have a terrorist, and it wasn't Aaron Swartz. It was guys with guns who blew out a power substation in California a year ago our government covered it up until now when it came out because some reporters dug it out. Again, they keep this information from us. Those plants are seriously, seriously vulnerable. They know it. You know it. But they're still playing games with it. And this is the problem. We don't need a massively subsidized, militarized electric power system. You know, especially Texans have paid a big price. Your electric bills in Texas are enormous. The city of Austin, where you are, got out of some of these contracts, but still, massive, massive costs imposed on the public so that we can have a kind of uranium complex, industrial complex, run our grid. And by the way, if you want an interesting story, my book, Vulture's Picnic, I bring up a point that in Afghanistan, you say, why are we there? Well, who has the biggest untapped source of uranium on the planet? It's in Afghanistan. And the Soviets were mining uranium in Afghanistan until they were kicked out. We knew about that. Only Russians could work the Afghan uranium mines in secret. They didn't use locals at all. But everyone knows, and the CIA has, and I have an old CIA document. Now I could probably go to jail with like Aaron Schwartz or Bradley Manning, but I have an old CIA document from the Cold War period talking about the massive Russian mining of uranium in Afghanistan. So, how many wars do we want? You know, we didn't like blood for oil. Do we want blood for uranium now?
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of drugs over there, right, in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, so
isn't that part of the deal? It's drugs and oil lines are through the northern part there that they won't. And the South Texas Nuclear Generating Station there at Bay City?
Yes.
That's where they were. That's where I'll be. TETCO was in cahoots with them on expanding that and doubling the capacity by two additional reactors, I believe.
Yeah.
And it so only Tokyo has two was, now, and they wanted to add two more to that. See.
You know, there was a, you know, I remember at South Texas.
Yeah.
When it was first built, the first two reactors by what was then Houston Power, and it became Reliant. It keeps changing its name. They're always, by the way, hunting me down. They don't like me very much. The original price of that plant was something like supposed to be like $500 million. It ended up being $8 billion. So you're talking about a 16-fold jump in price. The people of Texas had to pay for that, hot piece of junk. And safe or not, that thing was financially dangerous. These guys pulled a real con job. And then they come back, we're going to double capacity by teaming up with Tokyo Electric Power. How berserk is this? This is how this industry runs. And then I found documents. And in fact, if you go, I got something called the radioactive brick from some source I can't reveal in Texas inside Houston Power. Basically saying, okay, we've told the government that these plants are going to cost $5 billion apiece. But internally, they knew that South Texas would cost, this is the new one, would cost at least $7 billion each. They got a guarantee from the U.S. taxpayer, billions of dollars of loan guarantees from the U.S. taxpayer, and they were hiding the real price of this plant. And, I have the documents. I mean, if you look I actually have this document showing $5 billion is the public price, $7 billion is their internal price. You know, $2 billion in my neighborhood is real money. In the old days when we really had a Justice Department, not an injustice department, when I worked for the Justice Department, we would arrest people for doing this. This is called finance fraud. It has nothing to do with nuclear power, safe, unsafe. It has to do with finance fraud. These guys are expert at it. And, you know, now we don't, you know, you can get away with this stuff. These billionaires, these big corporations laugh. I get these documents that used to put people in jail. Now I say, okay, go publish it somewhere. You know, we don't care. And then if I do, you know, I have to worry that they'll now charge me under the Anti-Terrorism Act, George. I mean, I switched to journalism, and now I'm in, you know, one of my colleagues, Glenn Greenwald, is in Brazil, an American. He's a constitutional lawyer, right? He's a constitutional lawyer, but he writes for my newspaper. He's afraid to come home because he was one of the people that broke the Ed Snowden story about the NSA spying. He's afraid to come back to the United States, to back home. He's an American citizen because he revealed, as a journalist, he revealed information. We used to think of ourselves under the First Amendment as protected. We're not protected anymore. So, you know, like you and I mean, it's actually no joke, because who would have ever thought that we'd be seeing, you know, people behind bars for under these laws? You know, I mean, you know, they'll say, oh, wait, you know, George Butler, Greg Palace, they were talking about, you know, the secret documents of Tokyo Electric Power. That's a violation of the anti-terrorism laws, you know. Open your files or we throw you in jail. You know, I mean,
well, the Japanese have a new National Security Act like that in Japan.
Well, I'm seeing it all over in the United States. I see it in Britain with the Official Secrets Act. Yeah. I see it in Switzerland, you know, protecting with their bank secrecy. They've got all these acts. I see it, you know, it's all over the world. And then, of course, needless to say, I was seeing it in these oil dictatorships. So that, you know, there used to be a big difference between the United States and other nations. We said, like, you know, when Daniel Ellsberg released the Pentagon Papers, you know, he was first charged with a crime, and a judge threw it out and said, we don't have official secrets in the United States of America. It doesn't matter if he revealed war secrets. He didn't sell them to the enemy. He gave them to the American people in the public interest. That means we don't arrest people who provide information in the public interest. And so Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers, was, you know, let free. But, you know, today, Daniel Ellsberg would be in jail for the rest of his life for releasing information to we the people. It's our information. It's not them, the people. It's we the people, George. And this is really, you know, gone berserk. By the way, you're listening to Greg Palast, if you're wondering who's all upset about all this.
Right. Greg Palast is our guest this evening, and we've got GregPalast.com. We have that up on the site now. You can go to and read all of his fine articles and look, and buy some of those books, too. They're great books.
Well, one thing you can get for free, by the way, is that if you there's a 95-second fun little trailer for my film Vultures of Vote Rustlers. It includes a little cartoon with Chris Christie being fed a little chickadee, being stuffed with cash from the Koch brothers. See, people thought that Chris Christie was a big bloated guy because he ate a bit too much. No, that's not true. He's just been stuffed with so much cash by billionaires.
Out in what, Aspen, Colorado, that that gave them their blessings, gave Chris Christie their blessings and a lot of money and a special political action group or something?
That's right. The Koch brothers, there are three that I've been investigating. People know Charles and David Koch, who are worth $22 billion each. They have a third brother, Billy, who's worth around $5 billion each, partly because the two other brothers cheated him out of his share of daddy's inheritance. But these guys get together in Vail, Colorado once a year with a bunch of other billionaires, and they have secret meetings with politicians and decide which one's like a beauty pageant to see which one will suck up to the billionaires and put on the best performance for them. Chris Christie secretly went out. It wasn't on his schedule. First, he had a secret meeting of 2 hours with David Koch in Manhattan. It was never on his schedule. Then he flew out secretly, not on a schedule again, to Vail, Colorado, to meet with the Kochs and their other billionaire buck buddies. And they raised for Christie and others $70 million that night. Christie came back and sign legislation that the Kochs wanted. You know, are we going to say, oh, he did it in return for the money? I can't tell that. It was just miraculous, wasn't it?
Yes, it and was then, a miraculous yeah, thing.
Yeah, miraculous coincidence.
$70 million worth of miracles.
Yeah, it's a lot of miracles. But it's amazing how many miracles you can buy for $70
million. You can buy a lot, Greg.
And then listen to this. So they set up a committee. Suddenly, Chris Christie, there's all these advertisements on television saying what a wonderful guy Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is. This wonderful, wonderful guy. And so who was paying for this? Something called Committee for Our Children's Future. And no one knew who it was. And the great New York Times, which used to do investigative reporting, they have no idea how to do it now. Oh, they said, oh, it's old college friends of Chris Christie. Now, Christie did go to Harvard. He went to some, you know, to local schools. Where does his friends get money for these ads? It totaled up to $6 million. In TV ads saying what a great guy Chris Christie was. I went back. You'll see this on my in Vultures and Vote Rustlers, which you can download. I went back into my old files when I was working with the FBI 20 years ago. And sure enough, there was this group, Children's Future, and it turned out it was a front used by Koch Industries, by the Koch brothers, as a way to secretly give money to candidates. Now, 20 years ago, it was illegal. That's why I was working with the FBI and Senate investigators on this. Today, it's legal. Okay, I can't say it's not. It's illegal. They can secretly give money under Citizens United and other decisions of the Supreme Court. These guys can, you know, have all these charitable funds. And technically, by the way, these are charities. These are not-for-profit charities that are running these ads. Now, they're so concerned about our children's future. It's not like they're buying pencils for kids in school. It's not like they're, you know, buying basketballs for the
That's
school
so
gym.
Nice, isn't it? Pencils
yeah, they're giving
the
money to say how, what a wonderful yeah. guy Chris Christie is. Yeah. You know, and now of course because he screwed up and got team got caught blocking up George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
I mean,
a small
these guys,
thing. Hey, they you know, like a detour sign they should have put up there, right?
Yeah, well, they did. They blocked off two lanes of the busiest bridge on the planet.
Right.
So they backed up people for hours and hours and hours just as a political to try to get rid of, to try to muscle a political opponent of Chris Christie's, a guy, who, actually a Democrat who wouldn't go along with endorsing Chris Christie. As you know, Chris Christie and Obama are like real buddies, you know, so there's a good example of Republicans and Democrats hand in hand against the rest of us. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and so, you know, so this little, but behind Chris Christie is basically this billionaire money. And you know, it's funny because when Chris Christie went off to meet with the Kochs, it was just after Mark Sanford the governor of, in the Carolinas had gone off secretly to meet with his girlfriend and disappeared for a couple of days.
Oh, that was a scandalous thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had to resign as governor because they said, oh, it was terrible that he disappeared without telling anyone where he went. And he's governor of a state and what if there's an emergency. Chris Christie did the same thing. Except instead of going off to a girlfriend, he went out to Vail secretly to make out with the Koch brothers. Now we know by the way about the secret meeting. I even know what he said. If you go to gregpalth.com, you can read the story. Why are the Koch brothers and Chris Christie out in front of my driveway? You know, putting traffic cones in front of my driveway. I know about it because a friend of mine, a colleague, Brad Friedman, got a tape recording. You know, the one thing about people with cell phones, you know, you get the waiters and others at these events who are handing out the caviar, and they don't like what's going on, so they click on their cell phone. So we have a tape recording of Chris Christie's secret meeting with the billionaires. And he is talking about basically, he literally said, and this can make you ill, especially if you have any, if you're a person of belief and faith, he says, you know, you billionaires, you, are using your God-given talents, you know, for America, and all these government guys are getting in your way, all these little, you know, all our little rules, right? make them tell the truth and not poison us, our water, or, you know, like no contract. So, you know, it's like, no, you know, by the way, the Lord did not give the Kochs their billions. They were daddy given. Their father, the Koch's dad, had built oil refineries, designed and built oil refineries for Joe Stalin after World War II. And that's how they made, the Koch family made its first billions, by working with Joe Stalin. See, these guys, they talk about freedom, they talk about, you know, but if Joe Stalin or Hitler or Godzilla is going to give them money, they're right there.
Well, Armored Hammer is a prime example of that.
Yeah, you know, they all cut the
They up. Gave him oil paintings instead of money. You know who set up the first pencil factory in Russia was Armored Hammer.
Yeah.
For the school kids. Yeah.
Well,
he told Johnny Carson that on his show one night.
Well, you know, the thing is that if there's a buck to be made, that's why it's not right or left.
Yeah.
It's cash and carry.
Yeah, now that's where you report so honestly. You report, you know, things exposing the left and the right, don't you?
Well, in fact, you'll be interested to know that there is a so-called, I'm not going to go through it right now in the details. I just wrote a story.
Okay.
That is exposing an idiotic plan of a darling of the American left wing, Elizabeth Warren, you know, the senator from the senator from Massachusetts, and the American liberals are in love with her. Okay, she's done some good stuff trying to take
out
the
It's a love fest, isn't it, when they talk about her?
Yeah, it's a love fest.
Oh my God,
Elizabeth Warren. And we're supposed to drink the water she walks on. Well, she has this new scheme to turn the post office into a kind of loan sharking operation. There's these payday loan predators, these guys who rip off people who are desperate for a few bucks. You sign over your payday. You sign over your check.
Payday loans, car title loans.
Yeah, and you do that game, and you get really ripped off. The post office, which is losing, you know, bleeding money, wants to go into the business of payday loans.
Oh, by the
way, in some states, it's actually considered a crime. It's loan sharking considered a crime. But she wants to get the post office into the payday predator loan business. Now, excuse me, you know, what are we going to do, have the post office now selling crack pipes and 40s, you know?
Hey, Greg, I got it. If you don't pay on time, they stop your mail.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, you know,
I mean, you know, that's a good angle, isn't it?
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, excuse
me.
We
stop your mail, or we open all your mail.
Yeah, you know, it's like, so I don't want the post office turning into, you know, a loan sharking operation. And say, oh, we have all these post offices in poor neighborhoods. Okay, well, why don't we just sell joints and, spliffs and, switchblades, whatever. If we're going to be, taking advantage of poor folk, we want to put an end to loan sharking, not expand it into the post office. I think, by the way, most postmen do not want to become loan sharks and start repossessing your car. They would drop the mail sack and hotwire your ignition to repossess it because you didn't pay off your
Is the post office, United States Post Office, are they processing UPS packages now? I've heard that, but I haven't verified.
Yeah,
is that right?
Well, not what they're processing now. The new thing is for Amazon. And,
okay, for Amazon, yes. They got to
Yeah, so,
them.
Oh, by the way, just so you
Man.
Know,
yeah.
As soon as Amazon switched, because my investigation, we have a lot of, because we have all these distant things, we get a lot of material here, and we need a lot of supplies. As soon as they switch, Amazon switched to the post office, we stopped getting any of our stuff. But the thing is, here's what you love, George. I was just told by a left-wing news site that they will not, that they're refusing to run my story on Elizabeth Warren and this gimmick of turning the post office into a loan sharking operation.
Say that again.
So I have a so-called progressive left-wing news site
Okay.
That is refusing right now, just told me that they will not run my story on Elizabeth Warren and the scam with turning post offices
really?
Into loan sharking operations because, you know, you cannot say anything against St. Elizabeth Warren and the crazy schemes to turn the post office into basically predator banks. And, you know, so again, you know, the problem is that, you know, so on one hand, I get censored out of the U.S. press from the right wing. Now I'm getting censored from the U.S. press from the left wing. And that's why I appreciate it. You don't ask me that, you know, you don't want me, you never ask me to promote a Republican or a Democrat or take one position or another. It's the truth and the information is first. And it's very hard to find that now. Everyone is taking sides. If you don't go along with the company line, forget it. You can't, you're sliced out.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes. Is there anything that I know there's so much to talk about that you wanted to add to this interview? We've got 3 minutes.
Well, what I'd like to do, go to gregpalace.com. That's free. They ain't shut me down yet. I've been sued by George Bush's gold mining company. I've been sued by Mario Cuomo, the great liberal governor of New York, who accused me of calling him corrupt. I just laid out the facts. If you think that I exposed corruption, let me know. So if you want the information which is not right-wing, left-wing, but correct and true, you can go to gregpalast.com, G-R-E-G-P-A-L-A-S-T. George has it linked. I'll be putting out new stories. And believe me, I'm going to be putting out the story on Elizabeth Warren, the great Elizabeth Warren, and the post office. You know, I call it Liz Warren Goes Postal.
So goes postal. That sounds good.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so and you can go see, and on the right side of the site, it says you'll see vultures and vote rustlers. Go watch that 95-second trailer. You'll get a kick out of it with the cartoon and the information and documents. And if you want to take a look at the film, you can download it there.
You know, I think we've gone – you remember the book, The Cheating Culture?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's quite a book. Well, I think the latest version of that should be The Corrupting Culture.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone from cheating, small cheating, to major corruption, you know, looks like.
I'll tell you what, George, you're the guy that I know, no matter who censors me, they'll always have a home on your show,
you can come. The door is open at any time, Greg, and we certainly respect, you know, your investigative reporting and from the left and from the right, and we certainly do appreciate all your fine and hard work, you know, over the years.
Well, thank you, and send me the information about your meeting on the nuclear scam.
What we're trying to do basically is try to move this thing into some kind of a world solution because it's affecting the whole world now at the level that is spewing forth the material.
Okay. Okay, well, I feel safer as long as you're around and on the air.
Okay.
They go after you. They'll have
I appreciate
to get, come
that.
After me
Same
first.
To you. Same to you.
Okay.
And thank you very much and good night and wish you all the luck up there in New York and the world. Okay?
Thanks a lot, George. Bye.
Good night.